This morning, we'd like to see the title, Spiritual Life. For online course students or pupils, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. What do those show? What God reveals through nature? Question 1, what do those show? What God reveals through nature? Question 2, in verse 12, who can understand that His errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Who can understand the human errors in this context? Who can understand human errors in His context? Last question, in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What does this sentence of let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight mean? The last question, what does this sentence of let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight mean? First of all, this psalm was written by David around 1000 BC. So, which meaning about 3000 years ago, David wrote this psalm. Here, basically, three topics David talks about. Number one, how God reveals through nature. That is verses 1 through 6. Number 2, how God reveals through His word. Verses 7 through 9. Last part, how God reveals through our daily spiritual life or our daily experience. Verses 10 through 14. So, the first topic, 1 through verse 6, how God reveals through nature. Here, the heavens, so not heaven, lot of heavens, meaning not just the sky surrounding earth, but the other, you know, planted the sky or, you know, other galaxies too. The heavens declare the glory of God. So the heavens, nature by themselves, declare God's glory. So it seems like, you know, the heavens is God made things, you know, that, you know, implication of God made things. So because heavens are God made things, that's why, you know, the reveals God's glory. So the means God's existence. Then and the firmament shows His handiwork. This is a handiwork, meaning the God's fingers work, you know, the firmament. Firmament, what is a firmament? Firmament, you know, the book of Genesis chapter 1, and we can see the sky surrounding the earth is called the firmament. So earth is a very tiny. Earth is like, you know, the ocean, all, you know, sand on the earth. One sand is on earth. So, you know, in universe, you know, that is one sand and is like, you know, the earth. So the sky surrounding the earth is called, you know, firmament. Firmament shows His handiwork. So here, in verse 1, what God reveals through nature. Number 1, God's existence. Number 2, God's eternal power. Eternal power, or is there is a magnificent power. This kind of verse 1 was cited by disciple Paul. Romans chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. Romans chapter 1 verse 19 20. Disciple says, because what may be known of God is manifest. Manifest meaning is shown or is clearly discovered. Manifest is shown clearly in them. In them meaning in people. in them. So, for because God has shown it to them, so God showed the nature to the people. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, invisible attributes meaning invisible characteristics, so kind of God's existence or God's the eternal power here, you know, the disciple talks about God's eternal power are clearly seen. So clearly seen means manifest. So here disciple used a certain word as synonym. So first part manifest, but the next is clearly seen, you know, like that. Being understood by the things that are made. Here, God made a thing. So God made things by themselves reveal God's attributes, you know, which are God's existence and His eternal power and Godhead. Godhead meaning God, you know, what God is, God's existence, so that they are without excuse. So without excuse, somebody said, I don't know God, so you may not excuse your ignorance of God, because the heavens, the nature itself shows God's existence and God's eternal power or magnificent power. So that's the bottom line. So question one, answer, what does those show the nature, the God made things, the heavens and firmament show what God reveals through nature? The answer is God's existence and God's eternal power. That's the answer. Verse 2, day unto day utters speech. So speech meaning, you know, God's speech. Day unto day and night unto a night reveals knowledge. And there is no speech, no language. Here, no speech meaning no human speech, nor human language, where their voice is not heard. Their voice, nature voice. So today, this is a psalm was written 1000 before Christ. But today, scientists, physicists discovered wherever there are a lot of, you know, lengths, but human can listen certain, you know, limited range lengths of sound wave only, but beyond, you know, upper or beyond the lower, we cannot, you know, listen to the voice. Here said, where their voice, the nature voice, is not heard. Today, you know, scientists prove up, so, you know, the voice which a human cannot hear exists. So when I saw the nature TV on, you know, the National Geographic skin, so the whale, you know, for a long time the whale has no voice, but the science, you know, the it's a scraping machine detect, you know, their whale, you know, the voice, you know, kind of thing. So where their voice is not heard, their line has gone out through all the earth. Here, line or their order. So here, you know, they are orderness, not like, you know, disorder, because God is the author of order, not, you know, God is the author of confusion. His order line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. So in the book of Genesis 1 and 2, we know that God created the heavens, earth by word, you know? So by word, so their words. Their words to the end of the world. So in them, their words, God had set a tabernacle for the sun. So a tent, tabernacle means a tent for sun. Here, you know, we understand, you know, sun has a certain orbit, certain category. So 1000 before Christ, they didn't know, but recently, today, scientists know the sun has a certain orbit, you know, so like in a circulation, you know. So, you know, that kind of thing, which is like a bridegroom coming out to his chamber. So sunrise looks like a bridegroom is coming out of his chamber. like, you know, Brother Tim, you know, the, last week he got, you know, honeymoon, so he come out, you know, the chamber, you know, that kind of thing, and rejoice like a strong man to run its race. Here, it's a race, meaning sun also, you know, moving, not just, you know, static, you know, it's a race. It's a rising, sunrise is from one end of heaven, and it's a circuit. Here, circuit, what do you mean circuit? Circuit meaning revelation, circular. This is the implication of orbit, you know, today scientific term. But that time, 500 AD, many people believe the earth is flat. But the Bible says circular. So very amazing, you know, word like that. It's a circle to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its head. So sun coming out in a lot of heat. So here, verses 1 through 6, God reveals through those nature, heavens, sky, or the sun, you know, day, night, a lot of stars, you know, day, sun, you know, the moon, you know, those things reveal God's eternal power. Why eternal power? God eternal power to create all things. That's eternal power. Number two, God's existence or Godhead. Now, verses 7 through 9, through His word, word is God's word. The law of the Lord is perfect. Law, you know, basically, according to Webb's dictionary definition, law meaning a standard to control human behavior. That's called law. Here, in the law of the Lord, which meaning God's word to control our behavior. That is a law. So law is, we can give example, the Mosaic law, you know, basically the first five books of the Old Testament, that is called, you know, Pentateuch. Penta meaning five, you know, took is a law. So Pentateuch meaning the first five law is a Mosaic law. That is a kind of example. Converting the soul. Converting the soul meaning converting evil soul to clean soul, or, you know, bad soul, you know, to good soul, or ungodly soul, you know, to godly soul, and that kind of meaning converting or repenting or facing my, you know, fault, you know, to the Lord. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Testimony meaning proof, you know. So in the court, you know, somebody may put testimony. That is the formal statement, which is true, is called the testimony of the Lord is sure. Basically, God, you know, to reveal, the, for example, through the first king or second kings, they were a lot of, you know, the Jewish kings. So we see, you know, Jewish kings obey God's word, so they are gotten blessings from God. But they disobeyed God, you know, they got, you know, punishment, you know, they got attacked by the Gentile and the conscious like that. So that is called a testimony. You know, so God, you know, revealed it through, you know, the human history, you know, show if you obey, you know, God's word, you will be blessed. If not, you would be, you know, punished. You would be subjected to tragedy, you know, that kind of thing. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. Statutes meaning usually written law, and writing is called, you know, statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Basically here in the Lord Testament statutes, next one, commandment order. So all of them, we can say the word of God, but the word of God, you know, sit in certain angle of emphasis. Certain we can say law, certain say testimony, certain say statute, certain say commandment. That is a general term, the word of God. The commandment is, we can example, the Ten Commandments kind of thing. That is one of the example. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So enlightening the eyes, you know, last time we studied Matthew, Jesus said, you know, the light of eye is good. you can see in the whole body. In the dead times, the light of eye is bad, so all body is in darkness, and you know, kind of thing. That is a light, you know, actually mean the light of eye, meaning the single-minded to God's word. So you are focused on God, so you everything okay, but otherwise you would be darker, you know, fall into, you know, darkness, you know, that kind of means like that. So here, then is verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Here is the fear means holy fear. Because the Lord is holy, that's why we feel fear. This is not, you know, threatening fear. For example, in my childhood, I grew up, you know, the Buddhist, you know, temple, because my, you know, neighbor house in a Buddhist temple. So in my childhood, I, you know, played the ground in, you know, Buddha temple. Buddha temple, there are, you know, a lot of, you know, like there's a kind of skeleton, you know, big, you know, sniper kind of thing. So I had, you know, fear. That kind of fear, the different fear, that kind of fear, threatening fear, because they, you know, idol, you know, looked like, you know, killing me. You know, the eye is a very, you know, big eye, you know, boulder, you know, the head, you know, kind of thing. So that times I felt, you know, so fearful. That kind of fear, different fear. Here is the fear of the Lord means, Lord is so holy, so awesome. That kind of fear. That is called is reverence, holy fear. So reverence. So the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. But unfortunately, today, you know, sitcom, you know, cartoonist, TV media, they made up, you know, a lot of joke, you know, of God or Christians, you know, so like that, you know. So that's sad, you know. But the Jesus lady taught us, you know, in the last day, you know, many people, you know, wouldn't like, you know, God, you know, so they love money or something like that. So, but the judgment of the Lord are true and righteous all together. So God will judge, you know, God will judge two way. One judge is to the Christians who follow God's word, you know, will receive a reward. But the people who do not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and continually the joke on God will be punished. That is the Bible judgment usually two way. One is a reward, the other one is a punishment. So here, judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Altogether meaning everything righteous, righteous altogether, without excuse. So everything is righteous. But unfortunately, you know, some people, you know, the starting point, they disobeyed God. But during the process of disobedience, they faced the tragedy. That moment, they blamed God. You know, God is not fair. that's not right. You know, so God is always, you know, fair, true, and righteous. Verses 10 through 14, throughout daily spiritual life, God reveals himself here. More to be desired are they than gold. They meaning the words of God. The words of God, they. So the words of God more valuable than gold. So obviously gold is, you know, like one in a stone, you know, kind of thing, you know, gold. All right, yeah, yes, then much fine gold. So David said, the word of God more valuable than gold. Yes, amen, much fine gold. Fine gold, the most expensive gold, right? Fine gold meaning 24K. 24K without, you know, impurity. So that's God's word of value, so more value, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So God's word, you know, some people feel, you know, God's word is sweeter, but when I first accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, I read the Bible. At that time, you know, God's word was not sweet to me, you know, at all, you know, because most of the part, you know, I couldn't understand, you know, very difficult in, you know, a situation. Here, you know, sweeter meaning spiritual Christians, you know, can, you know, see, you know, God's word, you know, feeling like, you know, sweeter, so like a honeycomb, you know, kind of thing. So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, this month, you know, meditation, you know, God's word, you know, Proverbs, you know, chapter 16, verse 24, Proverbs chapter 16, yeah, here. Pleasant words or good words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bone. So, you know, God's word is, you know, really good, you know, because God is good, that's why his word is good. So that is, in a pleasant word, are like a honeycomb or a sweetness to soul, to spirit, and health to the bone. So healthy to our body too. You know, so that is, you know, God's word. Verse 11, moreover, by them, by God's word, your servant is warned. So God is warned, you know, God's word like that. If you obey my word, you will be blessed up to, you know, 1,000 generation. But if you disobey my word, you will be punished up to 3 generations. In a kind of thing, God gave us the word, but in keeping that, in keeping God's word, there is a great reward. So great reward in a kind of judgment, right? So God made a judgment in a too great reward, but if you do not obey God's word, you will be subjected to treasury, judgment. Who can understand his errors? Who can understand his errors? A rhetorical question. This is who can understand his errors? In this context, only God can understand human errors. So here, the Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 6, David, made these Psalms. Here, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God searched me, known me. Because I don't know, you know, my heart, you know, clearly. You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. But we can understand my thought, some part, not, you know, deep thing. So you and God understand my thought afar off, you know, very deeply, you know, thing. You know, so you understand. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know all my ways, my thought, you know, so everything. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Not just my tongue word. You know altogether, meaning including my heart. You know, somebody, you know, asked me, you know, how are you? But actually this morning, you know, when, you know, I came out, you know, home, you know, for example, hypothetical question, I made, you know, fighting with my wife, you know, a lot of fighting. But I come out in church member ask, how are you? I am fine. Which meaning, my word, not, you know, there is not a word on my tongue. Not my word, I'm fine, not that. But here, behold, look, all you know it all together, you know, from beginning all together, what happened, everything, you know, all together. You have hatched me behind and before. So you have, you know, circled me behind and before, like protecting me, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, because God's knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. So basically God, you know, protected me, hatched me, because some kind of, you know, evil kind of thing. The problem is anger. Not, you know, anger itself a problem. Because of anger, Satan used that anger. That's a problem. You know, sometimes the appearance of evil is used by Satan. That's a problem. So that's why hedged me, you know, the circle protected me behind and before. Your knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Then is verse 23, 24 said, the last words of Psalm 139, search me, search me, search my heart, me, O God, and know my heart, try me, test me, and know my anxiety or my worries, immobilizing worry, you know, thinking so much, you know my anxiety, and see if there is any wicked way in me, or whether or not there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Everlasting meaning, you know, God's way. You know, God is, you know, give us everlasting life, you know, God's way. And lead me in your way, in the way everlasting. Here, search me. So the answer is, who can understand his errors, human errors? The God understand. Also Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 and 10, also God said to Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I the Lord search the heart. The Lord, you know, I the Lord to search the heart. I test the mind. The God said, I God searches the heart, God tests the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So according to his way, you know, God will, you know, give, you know, the fruit, you know, result, you know, like a punishment or a reward, you know, based upon God's searching the human heart, human mind, you know, like that. So here the second question answer is, you know, God can understand human errors. Then is here, cleanse me from secret faults, you know, the God, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sins are simply willful sins. One example, one guy, you know, addicted to gambling. This is an actual true story, but I don't want to disclose his identity because the purpose is teaching the word of God, you know, it's identity. One guy, you know, he was addicted to gambling. So his wife, you know, the real estate broker, she earned a certain amount of money. So she asked him, honey, can you pay a mortgage payment to the bank? So she gave, you know, 10 months mortgage payment to him. So he brought her that mortgage payment while, you know, he was driving car. He saw, you know, riding a gambling cappuccino or something like the signboard. He was there. He played a game there. He lost everything. That kind of, you know, example, perfect example, presumptuous sin. Why presumptuous sin? Because he is willingly driving car to enter into cappuccino, a gambling place. He did so. Presumptuous sins, that is here, let them not have dominion over me. But sadly, the addict of gambling controlling over him. But he know that this money should have paid to mortgage. He know that. But is let them, you know, not have dominion over me, because the sin get a grip or a hold on his life. That is a kind of example. So let them presumptive sin not have dominion over me, not have control the me, controlled me, control me. Then I shall be blameless. So then I shall be innocent, no committing sin, and I shall be innocent of a great transgression. So because of that, you know, so he got, you know, so the kicked out, you know, by his wife in so miserable life in right now. So that kind of thing, presumptive sins, which meaning willful sin. So willful sin, but looks like out of control, because the sin controls me. So I know, you know, I shouldn't do so, but I couldn't do so, you know, that kind of thing. The last verse in 14, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What does it mean? This is simply meaning pure. So when, you know, we pray to the Lord, my word, you know, should be pure. Pure meaning not tainted with my, you know, trespass or not, you know, arrogance or pride kind of thing. Meditation of my heart meaning my thinking, my thought. That also, you know, should be pure, be acceptable in your sight. So one example, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus said, I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So meditation of my heart, because my heart should be pure. So that kind of stuff means. So each question, let me see. In verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and firmament shows his handiwork. What do those show? What God reveals it through the nature? Here, the heavens firmament. The answer is God's existence. Number 2, God's eternal power. The question to, in verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret fault. Who can understand human errors in this context? God can understand, you know, the human errors, including, you know, deep thought, you know, our heart, you know, kinds of things. The last verse in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What does the sentence of let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight mean? My heart should be pure. So that answer. Okay, let's just sing song all together. Next page 9. Great is thy name. Yeah, it's relevant to today, you know, study.